in a recent article that you wrote, you state that rather than one in 18 Aboriginal deaths is a suicide, you estimate, though, that one in 10 Aboriginal deaths is a suicide. Can you explain this a little further and how you came to this estimation?
So according to the Bureau of Statistics, over the last five-year period, there are 1.7% of all Australian deaths are a suicide. That translates to one in 59 of all Australian deaths a suicide.
According which to is a terrible statistic in general.
Which is a horrific statistic. And also when we realise it's a global problem, suicide is a leading cause of death right around the world. It takes between 1 million to 2 million lives around the world, according to the World Health Organization. The lowest figure in terms of reported data, which is very difficult around the world, aggregated is about 804,000. But in estimations, because of under-reporting issues with a lot of other nations and their government instruments, the realistic figure that most researchers like myself believe to be a truer account or more authentic is about 1.5 to 2 million people take their lives around the world each year. When you realize that, it's actually more deaths lost to suicide around the world in general than the combined total of road deaths, of violence from wars, of civilian deaths in wars, not just military casualties, and also of gun-related deaths all around the world or whatever. Right? So it is the leading cause of death. It is, and that toll also translates in Australia. We lose more people to suicide, in general about 3,000 a year in terms of reported figures, as opposed to the 1,200 that we lose to motor vehicle accidents here in this country. So you can put domestic violence deaths, tragedy in itself, homicides and road deaths, and aggregate them together, combine that total, double it up again, and suicides exceeds that. With Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander deaths, when I talk about that figure, 1 in 59 of Australian deaths, a suicide, well, over the last 5 years, 5.5% of the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander deaths, First Nations deaths, are actually registered suicides. 5.5% translates to 1 in 18 of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander deaths. Because of under-reporting issues that we're quite well aware of in terms of evidence gathering, particularly in remote communities, in regional communities, overwhelming language barriers and where English isn't a first language, and other various silences that are imposed because of other deaths from other causes that aren't the traditional modalities, substance abuse and misuse. And other risk-taking deaths, researchers like myself have estimated that instead of the 1 in 18 of those unnatural deaths as suicides, that the unnatural deaths as suicides are actually many more that include also substance abuse, risk-taking deaths, motor vehicle deaths, and other types of misadventure. And that the real figure is around the 1 in 10. The 1 in 10, it hasn't been disputed by anyone. It's actually been supported, and some actually argue that it's actually a little bit higher.
By who? Who has supported it? People within government, or...?
No one disputes it. Government actually understands. It's multi-partisan, so all sides of government actually do know the harrowing statistics and the reality and the grim realities on the ground that we're losing people to suicide by various modality. The reality is whether it's 1 in 18 or 1 in 10, it's a staggering, harrowing narrative, and one that's actually getting worse. The other day, the Australian Bureau of Statistics brought out its figures, and in the last year, 162 Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders were actually suicide. Preceding year it had been 153, the preceding year 142, the preceding year 138, and the year before that 123, and the year before that 107, and the year before that 103. So it's going up every single year. We have a harrowing crisis in this nation. It is almost, and this actually speaks volumes about the ways forward. It is almost negligible of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people killing themselves who are living above the poverty line, much less than the non-Indigenous rate of suicide above the poverty line. So it is about the improving of life circumstance. That is the way forward. In the Northern Territory, if you're born black, 3 in 4 will actually live their life below the poverty line. In Western Australia, 2 in 3. Nationally, it is 2 in 5. 40% live below the poverty line. The ways forward about improving life circumstance. Look, I come to the Territory, for instance, again and again to work with suicide-affected families and other trauma recovery and in the improving of life circumstance. I won't name the communities, but not nearby Alice is one community nearby Alice, effectively, not a town camp, a larger community. There's no child has graduated Year 12 in the last 7 years on an island in Carpentaria, with several communities on it. Only three children in its entire history have ever graduated Year 12 in its entire history. In Gumbalanya, because I mentioned Gumbalanya because it's a well-known fact in a number of our reports. First two female high school graduates who were First Nations. Was 2013. So what hope for the generation of today, and what hope for the children unborn of the generations to come from those parents who are not getting the opportunities that other Australians actually are?
So what should be done? You've mentioned ensuring that poverty is eradicated in these communities, or you've also mentioned language barriers in terms of the research.
Well, language isn't the problem. Language is a positive, it's a protective factor. But let's also make a clear understanding here. Culture is about identity. And it isn't because that there's a cultural deficit in these communities that we're actually losing people to suicide. Actually, in fact, these are high cultural content communities with ceremony, language, law, with every practice imaginable, storytelling and ownership of language uninterrupted, as has happened in other communities around the country where language has been lost. It is the poverty that's killing the people, or it is the aimlessness and the hopelessness. Many of these communities have been degraded by one government after another into corrals of human misery and suffering, where there's no hope on the horizon. I'm going to communities that I'd gone to in the 90s, and that weren't perfect, that were without infrastructure, but there was a greater happiness then than what there is today. The communities I see today, whether here in the NT, whether in Western Queensland, whether in Northern Queensland, whether in the Kimberley, whether in the Simpson Desert, whether in the Gibson Desert, whether in the Anangu country, wherever, are places with a much less happiness quotient than what there was 20 years ago. So, you know, we've got all this business of cashless welfare cards and this and that. That's about managing poverty. It may reduce aberrant behaviours at that surface level, but it doesn't give hope on the horizon. What we need in these communities is for the equivalency of services that any non-Aboriginal community has, to allow for them to enjoy infrastructure, opportunity, and to be able from that to pathway into other opportunity. Kids need to be finishing school, but they need to be given the full quotient of what a family means, and the capacity for family to enjoy and thrive in those communities. They can't be achieved punitively. They have to, or by impost. They have to be achieved in the terms that every other that all Australians actually enjoy in this country. So it's about the improving of life circumstance. There's a significant proportion of that poverty that is Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander, that is third world akin, that is apartheid-like, corrals of human misery and suffering, dirt poor poverty, poverty that in the 12th biggest economy on the planet shouldn't exist, that no other Australian, 12% of Australians do live below the poverty line, but it is negligible that non-Indigenous Australians, whether migrant or brown or white, are living that type of poverty, that a significant proportion of black poverty is actually engulfed in, that is apartheid-like, that is third world akin, that is poverty that you'd actually find in the poorest of nations on our planet. The answer to your question, Philippe, is actually the only way forward to getting to parity, the depression rates, the suicide rates, and the jailing rates. It is about improving life circumstance. That is the only way forward. Anything else is shortchanging of people.
One last question that I want to bring up with you is in regards to the Closing the Gap policy, which incorporates suicide rates, and a lot of people who stated that that policy has failed. There was reports recently that the government is strategizing to update the policy. Are you confident this will provide solutions?
No. I was one of the greatest critics of the Closing the Gap policy from its inception and very beginning, because it's just like the Millennium Goals. It's targets, it's estimations, it's certain calculations that are wish fulfillment. What happens on the ground is what matters more than the targets. Yes, the targets are all well and good, but they have to actually be nourished by action on the ground, by infrastructure on the ground, by opportunity on the ground, by an equivalency of that opportunity, that where there's no disparity in terms of opportunity and the affirmative actions that need to happen, and the presumption of everything that every Australian has be dished out to every Australian. We're talking about 1% of the Australian population. We're not talking about the 3% of Aboriginal and Torres Strait, the 3% of the Australian population or Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders. We're talking about 1% who's actually poverty affected to an extreme level. That is affordable. It is inexcusable. It toxically translates as racism. Closing the Gap was powerful in affirmative actions for many of our brothers and sisters. is when we think about 1970, there were no Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander lawyers. There were no Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander doctors. There are now 700 Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people who are lawyers. There are now 300, or almost 300 doctors, with 300 more on the way. But the reality is we now have a divide that is no longer just black and white. In terms of haves and have-nots, we have a divide now that is black and black. We have the haves and the have-nots, and the affirmative actions are beginning to dry up for the have-nots. That poverty is becoming entrenched. We need a triage-based approach for the majority of funding to go to the have-nots. And look, in the closing the gap will continue to fail, has continued to fail, because it wasn't holistic, it wasn't nourished to the extent that it should have been. And the only closing the gap that some are, and I'll be controversial, the only closing the gap that's actually happening now is the haves are actually benefiting from more partnerships and funding than what the have-nots actually are. So we've now in a meritocratic aspirations where the black haves are chasing down the wealth of their counterparts, who are the white haves, as opposed to putting in more effort, whether we're black, brown or white colleagues or whatever. We should be fighting at the table to get a triage-based approach. As I've often said in the media, that we need to focus on a needs basis to those most neediest. We need to eliminate the direst poverty, and that's the third world akin poverty. This isn't about closing communities. This is about giving those communities the equivalency of services that our non-Aboriginal communities actually have. And how is it possible that 50 or 100 kilometres away from a degraded Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander community that has very little infrastructure, that has third world akin living conditions, that 50 or 100 k's away you have a predominantly non-Indigenous community or township or town populated, and it has every piece of infrastructure that every Australian actually enjoys. So that is why it toxically translates as racism. And no, closing the gap isn't working. Closing the gap won't work. Targets alone won't make a difference or whatever, right, unless we actually contextualize this with outcomes on the ground. But that word equivalency must be equal.